When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
What is good with you on this Monday morning? It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance and ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80 and ESPN 2. All the boys in the building. Keyshawn there. Harry Douglas there. Freddie Coleman here. Did somebody fail a test or something like that for all three of us to be in the building at the same time?
No, not at all. Freddie Coleman in for Max Kellerman.
Yeah.
Harry in for J. Will. Mm-hmm. I'm Freddie Coleman.
Now everybody's going to be confused based on that introduction. How was your weekend, by the way, guys? How was the weekend?
It was cool.
Yeah?
I mean, I was getting ready to come back east, but it was good. I didn't – I'm trying to think what I did that was – I didn't do anything out of the ordinary.
Sometimes nothing is better.
Yeah, I kind of wind things down as I start to get to work, you know, because I've been – had to travel, so – I think Saturday I just hung around. Sunday was headed this way.
Okay.
I got to spend time with my kids, man. My kids and my mom and dad. So that was dope for me.
Yeah.
That was good.
Good for you.
I'm trying to think, what the heck did I do?
You know, usually.
Keep getting old, man.
Right. Usually the answer would be, if you can't remember what you did this weekend, then it was too good of a weekend. Keith's like, what did I do this weekend? Was it good? Was it bad?
I didn't really do anything.
You ain't go to the hole in the wall, did you? At the hole in the wall.
No.
I had my best time.
Well done.
I did. I went to an event on Saturday.
Okay.
I went to an event at the Rose Bowl on Saturday. 100th anniversary of the Rose Bowl.
Nice.
Okay.
The day that the Rose Bowl was built, I guess, is 1922 or something like that. So it was the day that it was built. Oh, it was pretty cool, though.
I was going to say, else was there? I know
everybody you could think of who's living that played in the Rose Bowl.
Okay.
That, like, Vince Young, Warren Moon, a bunch of UCLA players,
right?
Bunch of older USC guys, not Jonathan Ogden, Orlando Pace.
Okay,
God, it was a bunch of people.
How do you forget that? How do you not remember that?
I mean, because I guess it was
a hole in the wall.
Exactly.
Seriously, Harry. It was a big moment, I guess.
You guess 100 years of the Rose Bowl, you guess the big moment. A guy hold on a second.
I go there all the time.
Hold on. You're the MVP of the Rose Bowl.
But I go there all the time.
I don't care. That's an event of 100 years of the Rose Bowl. You're a part of that history, and you casually don't remember that 48 hours later on your own radio show?
No, that's on my bucket list, the Rose Bowl.
Seriously.
I've never been there.
Neither have I.
You know what? That's a lie. I went as a little kid. I hasn't been as an adult. I want to go as an adult.
That's still a bucket list for me as an adult. This dude played in the game.
I know.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I just go there all the time.
No, he balled out in the game.
Because UCLA plays, there's concerts, there's a soccer. So I go there a lot. That's why I was just like.
Key, hold it. Stop.
That's just like you in Madison Square Garden. You've been there so much, it's like, oh, Madison Square Garden.
Key, I've never played in Madison Square Garden. Against a professional college team.
Oh, God. No, I'm just saying, man.
The humble brag works for certain people. It ain't working for you right now, Keith.
No, it's not a humble brag. I don't know. I've been there so many times, okay. I guess.
Must be nice to be you.
I saw Michael Jackson, Super Bowl.
Okay.
As a kid. I mean, I've been to concerts there. I've been to the soccer there.
Mm-hmm.
I watch UCLA there, USC there. So it's just, I don't know.
See what I mean?
I don't know.
See what I mean, Harry? See what I mean?
I'm used to it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
You
know.
Man, you used to the Georgia Dome?
Man, they ain't there no more. What you mean? It's Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's a parking lot now.
It's the state's field now where the Georgia Dome used to be.
No, it's you know, they play where the Braves used to play. Turner Field.
Oh, Turner Field. That's what Georgia State is now?
They turned that into.
Okay.
Yep.
They haven't torn down the Rose Bowl. And you played there. Started there for one game.
I go
game.
To the Georgia Dome. I'm going to a parking lot now, Keith.
Yeah, it's pretty, though. The setting is was pretty. It was
fantastic.
Really
watch those games as
a
kid.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. Either way, Keyshawn, J. Will and Magic. Got Keyshawn Johnson, Mr. Humble Brack, Harry Douglas, and Freddie coming in for the boys today on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80. This weekend, the NFL had a full slate of games when it comes to their preseason. I never get overly excited because I know people say, well, so-and-so played well. He's ready to start. So-and-so played badly. Better get rid of him. K, Key, what's the biggest takeaway from you from the games you saw this week or had a chance to see outside of, you know, celebrating the Rose Bowl on Saturday?
I'm a little concerned about Jordan Love, I would say.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I don't look at the box scores like everybody else and then go to the numbers and be like, oh, my God, he had a horrible game. I'm just looking at the game. And he just didn't look in control, under control. It didn't look like he kind of –
He didn't look ready to you?
He didn't look ready. He just looked – I don't know what it was. It didn't look right. It just looked sloppy and a lot of throws were late. And maybe that's just timing and now you're in live games versus practice. But he didn't look right to me. That's the only concern I have. And I know they're not going to cut him. But will he ever get a real shot in his career to be a starting quarterback?
Well, it's going to be a while before he plays, especially in Green Bay. But I would
he
say
he may never play in Green Bay.
But I think some of the throws that he had to the running backs, I was disappointed in those.
Okay.
Because when you're throwing footballs to running backs, they're not naturally hands catchers like you may see a wide receiver or tight ends may be. So you have to put the ball in places where they can catch the football. Some of those throws in the flat were behind them. But I also thought he showed some good signs, too. I did see some throws down the field. I think his athleticism got shown a little bit, too, as well. Realizing on 4th-and-3, cover 0, throwing that slot fade for a touchdown. But he also had 5 drops. In the time that I watched him play, the receivers and tight ends and backs had 5 drops. And they got to catch the football. But I am with Key, though. I don't believe the first 2 interceptions were his fault. I believe that 3rd one definitely was. He tried to throw it to a blind spot, and it got picked off, threw it behind the wide receiver. But my biggest takeaway from this weekend, Cleveland Browns. In multiple situations, number one, Deshaun Watson, I see why they wanted him to play. The rust is there.
You can
clearly see the rust is there. First play of the game, first pass play, I would say a naked over, throws the ball entirely over the head of the wide receiver. But then you also seen some drops from Anthony Schwartz. Deshaun hit him right in the chest, drop, scramble drill, another drop. But then you had a 3rd down play, and he threw the ball in the dirt to a running back. Also, a quarterback center exchange, you see one of those mishaps. But he just didn't look comfortable out there, like he had a lot of weight on his shoulders, which he does.
You mentioned that because to both of your points, with Key, with his concern with Jordan Love, and your concern with Deshaun Watson, the pressure both of those guys are under, with Deshaun Watson self-inflicted, what he had, what he's involved in offseason. For Jordan Love, it can't be easy being the backup quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, and you want the job, and the guy that's in front of you shows no signs of slowing down. Yep. Usually you can look at a guy and say, okay, in about 2 years, this is going to be my job. In about 1.5 years, this is going to be my job. Jordan Love looks at Aaron Rodgers. He must be saying, this may never be my job in Green Bay because that guy is still miles away, Key and Harry, from even going to that proverbial cliff. When it comes to quarterbacks, where you say, okay, that's when it started to go downhill for that quarterback in the NFL.
Well, it's not even about Green Bay. It's about his audition for 31 other teams. Will he ever get a fair shot to audition for 31 other teams? Because when you look at it, he's got 2 more years under contract with the Green Bay Packers. And if he never gets on the field, there's no real trade opportunities for him that's going to get them anything back in return. And if he becomes a free agent, there is no real team out there that would give him quarterback money.
Right.
So it's almost like he's going to be, depending on how long Aaron Rodgers stays, he's going to be stuck in Green Bay waiting. And then what I would do if I was the Green Bay Packers is I'd play him all the way through and give him an extension later on, a small extension, and let him still become the heir apparent. Because he's not, there's no market for him.
Yeah, that's the tricky part about Jordan Love, man. I think showing up to work every day, I'm pretty sure it's hard, and it's crazy I'm about to say this because you're in the National Football League, but knowing that you have a Hall of Famer, back-to-back MVP winner, Aaron Rodgers, one-time Super Bowl winner in front of you.
Right.
So the motivation factor, you know what? Man, I know I'm not going to play. But he has to understand is that he is one injury away. Right, and we did see last year when Aaron Rodgers had COVID, or I think it was close contact, or he had it, one of the two, and he had to play against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, when you get your opportunities, you got to make the best of those opportunities. You can't waste those moments. And last year, he did not show that. because you had the bad body language for those wide receivers. Like, damn, can Aaron Rodgers please come back?
Keyshawn, Jalen Max, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Get the $45 silver unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless. You can join the conversation anytime you want at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And what is going to be rougher for Bears quarterback Justin Fields in 2022? His offensive line or the field the Bears are going to play on?
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max with Keyshawn Johnson, Harry Douglas, and Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And I don't know what's going to be rougher for Justin Fields, but that field on Saturday when they played that preseason game against the Kansas City Chiefs, Key, can you imagine you playing a field two or three days after Elton John has a concert and you don't transfer it that way? Can you imagine Patrick Mahomes, if he had gotten injured on that field, that would have been a fiasco for the National Football
League. So I guess what, it was holes in certain parts, big divots in certain parts of the field, stuff like that?
As bad as you think it is, that's what it was.
It happens, though, a lot on natural surfaces when they have events prior to a game. You always see it where it just gets messed up. I mean, because the grass is probably new sod. It's new sod that's put out there for the start of the season, and then they have a concert, and they just it just gets ripped to shreds, and then a team has to come and play in it. I've seen it all the time.
Mm-hmm. And I go to think about, man, when I was with the Falcons, we played in London, right? And we practiced at Arsenal.
Okay.
And I remember them, their practice fields are better than a lot of NFL game fields.
Really?
And they was telling us, listen, y'all only stay on these two fields. Y'all can't go on these three, four fields. And it was just amazing to me. But when I think about the Chicago Bears stadium and their field, whenever I played there, I used to have to wear my screw-in cleats. And I used to hate wearing screw-in cleats, because they dig into your feet a little bit more versus the molded ones. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just feel faster in the molded ones as well. But that grass is thicker up there as well. But I went to thinking about other stadiums. Remember when the Raiders played in Oakland?
Yeah.
When the baseball thing was out?
Oh, yeah.
That may have been worse than anything, because you really can't keep plant like you want to plant and dig down into the ground, because you're going to be slipping and sliding. So, yeah, I think it's something the NFL need to look at. Because, once again, you do want to – tailored towards the health and safety of players. And when they have to go out there and play in divots like that, I don't think it's cool.
Yeah, I don't know why Chicago, even though it's an outdoor stadium, they still have grass. Because that grass, even Green Bay, that grass will freeze up on you when wintertime comes. So I don't know why they still have it. I wouldn't be shocked if next season they go away from it and go more to field turf.
I'm surprised they have it in Chicago especially. You're going to have those kind of events, multi-events where it's outside of sports events. The last thing you need, because, and Harry, you made the point, in terms of player safety, we know the NFL does not care about you dudes.
No.
When it comes to player safety, they want guys out there being ready to play. If you get injured, somebody will step up and play. They have never cared about player safety.
They portray it as they care.
Sure.
But they really show that they do care, but they really don't. When they start getting sued by players.
When it comes to money.
Yeah.
When it comes to money.
The bottom line. When it affects the bottom line.
I mean, I remember going in the field at Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia, and I said, I can't believe they make guys play on this in the 70s and 80s at the Vet. I could not believe
it. Yeah, I didn't
that.
Play in the 70s and 80s at the Vet, but I played at the Vet.
Yeah.
And the field was horrible.
Yeah. Teams together, and they played NFL games on that. That's why they don't care about player safety.
Here come the Browns out. This is going to be the norm when Deshaun Watson plays. A loud boom.
Truly sorry to all the women that I've impacted in this situation. Decisions that I made in my life that put me in this position.
We can all connect the dots. I think he's trying to potentially get a lesser suspension.
If he thinks this is some sort of Hail Mary effort to appeal to Peter C. Harvey, feels like he's doing a lot way too late.
I think at least him saying I'm sorry and acknowledging remorse was probably necessary and probably long overdue.
Along with Keyshawn Johnson, Harry Douglas, Freddie Coleman on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as ESPN2. I'll throw this out there, Key. You can start first, and Harry, you can relay your thoughts after that. It's not that Deshaun Watson, the apology that he had on Friday on News 5 in Cleveland. In case you missed it, this is what it sounded like before they played their preseason game against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm truly sorry to all the women that I've impacted in this situation. My decisions that I made in my life that put me in this position, I would definitely like to have back, but I want to continue to move forward and grow and learn and show that, you know, I am a true person of character, and I want to keep pushing forward.
Key, the biggest question to me when I heard that is why now? Why then?
I don't know. I'm sure that's going through a lot of people's minds of why now, and I think in situations like this, based on everything that he had to go through over the last year, year and a half, and going through court, dealing with those sort of things, it probably was better for him to hold his comments back till now, because basically everything is over with, right? There's no criminal charges. He settled all the lawsuits, because if he would have probably done that early in the process, it could have turned out different for him. So I'm sure his legal team gave him the advice to, okay, it's okay now to be remorseful publicly. Go ahead and say what you feel, opposed to, you know, several months ago when this thing was still under investigation, not only from the NFL standpoint, but also prior to him not being charged by the grand jury. I think if you deal with that then, we might be talking about something different now.
Yeah, the first thing I wrote down is why now? But when you think about it, you think about some of the things that Key just said, I don't know if he had a team in place to help him in those regards and understand how it can be done too. Because when you think about it now, you got to think about this. If he would have went up there at those moments and apologized a long time ago, could he have incriminated himself? Right? Then it came back. Then it probably could have came back and haunted him. Now, I do believe he should have apologized a lot earlier than now, and I don't think before a preseason game is the right time to do that. I'll be honest with you.
I thought the timing was dubious.
That blew my mind.
Yeah.
Right before a preseason game. Yeah. You're in a hallway with a reporter versus, you know, being at a press conference and doing it like that. I didn't think that was a good look. But as far as him doing it and trying to figure out when the right time was, it could be kind of tricky. But I will say this, that apology should have been done a lot sooner than it was the other day.
I'm not going to say the timing was dubious. Maybe that's not a fair blanket statement to throw at Deshaun Watson. But I'm curious about the timing, especially when we still don't know what the suspension is going to look like from the National Football League, because they appealed the 6 games and no fine suspension that was going to be put in place. The NFL didn't want to do that. They want more. They want a 4-year. Roger Goodell even said that as a commissioner last week, guys, that, hey, we want this to be indefinite. We want it to be out for a 4-year. I wonder how much of that was trying to maybe curry favor for Deshaun Watson from his standpoint, to not be suspended a 4-year by the National Football League.
Yeah, I'm sure that they probably played a part in it. At least it gets the attention that now, you know, it's like, okay, well, he apologized. He's remorseful for whatever bad decisions he made leading up to these events that he has to deal with. But I think from the timing standpoint, I mean, if he did it now, do it 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks, whatever it is, it's the timing of it is already gone because it didn't happen in the beginning.
Sure.
So it doesn't really matter, I think. I think what matters most is he sincere, though. Or is he doing it?
That's the big question.
Is it a sincere apology? That's the question. It's not about whether he apologized, when did he apologize, how come he waited so long. Is it sincere?
And I'll say this, though, Key. And I can't sit up here and say that it was, and I'm not going to sit up here and say that it wasn't.
Right.
I just didn't think it was a good look doing it right before a preseason game in the hallway. You see what I'm saying? Like, most things like that, you know what? I need to have a press conference. I need to get this out. You know?
The individual he was speaking to, he probably has a relationship with, probably know them or something like that, wanted to get him a little bit of
nugget. Which does make a difference.
Yeah.
Probably gave him a little bit of nugget.
Here you go. I got this for you.
Maybe felt more comfortable.
With the, you know, it wasn't a gotcha moment, sitting down with somebody trying to crucify him to a whole nother level, opposed to just giving his organic conversation and his apology. I mean, I'm sure that probably played some part in it. Because usually when you have something that you want to get off your chest, you go to somebody that you're comfortable with.
Right. Yeah. I'm not saying he's trying to level that playing field.
Yeah.
But if you're Deshaun Watson, the one thing that really jumped out to me, even before the apology, but definitely afterwards, if he didn't realize how much of a villain he's going to be in the NFL this year, boy, he got a taste of that on Friday in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
The minute he ran onto that football field, I know the stadium wasn't packed, but everybody, I know it's an opposing stadium, but everybody let him know that, like, hey, okay, you're getting your money and you're going to be on the football field, but you're going to have to hear it from us.
But Freddie, if it's not the rest of his career, that's going to probably be for the next 5 or 6 years that's going to happen. If not the rest of his career. So he has to be prepared for that, because as an opposing fan, you might not like that Deshaun Watson is playing, but you also there to support your team and try to get into the opponent's head any way possible.
First home game in Cleveland that he plays will be interesting too.
Yeah.
Because there's some fans that want him there, but there are plenty of fans that don't want him there in that city. That'll be interesting, that first home game, when he runs onto the football field and whether they announce his name or not.
Yeah.
If you see him run out there, that reaction to me will be very interesting. Because, Harry and Key, to your points, yeah, you want to support your guys, but then you say to yourself, am I selling my soul to do something like that with Deshaun Watson?
But I tell you this, and I hate that it's like this, though, Freddie. I really hate that it's like this. He go out there and win, a lot more people are gonna love him.
Oh,
and I hate sure. that it's like this, and our world is like that, but that's just our world that we live in.
Yeah, the winning's the ultimate sanitizer. Yeah,
especially an organization who has had the struggles that they've had. If he goes out there, gets them to the playoffs, and they win games in the playoffs and potentially could go far, a lot of people, they're going to be rooting for him.
Yeah, they'll have convenient amnesia.
Oh, yeah.
Winning is the ultimate sanitizer, yeah. Right? Look at Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
With all the stuff he came out with in college. Yeah. So I was going to touchdowns with Kansas City, and all of a sudden nobody was talking about what happened with him off the field involving Tyreek Hill. Good stuff from Keyshawn Johnson, Harry Douglas, Freddie Coleman, and Keyshawn, Jaylen Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Too early for concern when it comes to another injury for Jets quarterback Zach Wilson.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Wilson tucks it under at the 40, lowers his shoulder, and dives out close to midfield. And he's a little slow to get up, getting up with a little bit of a limp.
First time you see a non-contact knee injury, you think, what?
Torn ACL.
No question, it was not a torn ACL, per Adam Schefter. Zach Wilson has a bone bruise and a meniscus tear, and is expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks.
He's in good spirits, he's fine. A little frustrated, obviously, but he's as good as you could be in this situation.
There's a feeling that they dodged the bullet a little bit.
Along Keyshawn Johnson, Harry Douglas, Freddie Coleman, and Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN 2. 15 minutes from the New York Yankees proving Keyshawn Johnson right from 7 days ago. That comes your way in about 15 minutes. And a lot of people are hoping that this is not a continuation when it comes to Zach Wilson, second pick in the draft from last year, another knee injury. And the one thing, and a buddy of mine who works for the New York Jets, and I'm not going to name on national radio. He said, why?
What's his name?
No, I'm not going to do that. Nice try. Nice try. He told me, he said, Freddie, why could he have not run out of bounds? It's a preseason game. Why would he feel the need to try to do something like that? And I said, okay, then what's the answer? He goes, I don't really know. He's trying too hard. And Keith, that was the case of Zach Wilson, hearing all the whispers about being better in the second year with this offense, trying to do too much in a preseason game instead of just getting the first down, getting out of bounds, and protecting himself and the football team.
Well, it's just an unfortunate situation with him so far in New York. Last year, a little bit of injury, missed some time. This year, the preseason now, we see that he's going to have to go under the knife and get a little, you know, a little maintenance done. Nothing too bad, alarming, but he's got to certainly know to get out of bounds and do those sort of things. But this is, goes back to BYU. He was often hurt at BYU on little things. And a lot of that has to do with just your frame and your body, the pounding that you take, the things that you're doing in the weight room to strengthen your body. Football is not a small man's game. Zach Wilson is not a big quarterback. Although this was a non-contact injury, it doesn't matter. Okay? You don't see big dudes having those type of issues every time you look up, somebody blow on you and you mess around and now you on the shelf for several weeks. Well, this has been the case with Zach Wilson here over the last 2 years.
And I say, Fred, it's kind of hard too, man. When you're a competitor and you're going out there, you're playing football, you want to make every play possible. But I do understand it is the preseason. Mm-hmm. And you don't have anything to prove by making that play and you're close to out of bounds. So anyone can easily say just run out of bounds. But I look at his injury history, and last year I think it was a sprained PCL in that right knee. And then we're talking about that right knee again. And I can't help but to think about someone like Paige Beckers, right, who had the knee injury last year and then tore the ACL in that same right knee this year. You got to be careful if you're the Jets. But at the same time, his rehab, he has to focus on getting that lower body stronger. Because like he just said, this is a physical game. And I do understand it was a non-contact injury, but – your training is going to play a big part in how long you can last in this game. And if you're already on the smaller side, you might have to do extra things, a lot more band work, right? Strengthening up that quad. I went through an ACL, MCL, meniscus, and a bone fracture all in one knee my second year in training camp. So whatever I did training-wise to my left knee, I made sure I did to my right knee, because you can create some natural deficiencies if you're just focusing on one side as well. So focus on those quads, getting those things strengthened, especially now because you have an injury 2 years in a row to that same knee. So you got to be careful.
And the one thing that he has to do is also, as he's continuing to rehab, he also has to rehab his mind from a mental standpoint.
That's a good point.
He cannot go out there thinking this is going to happen to me again.
Right.
This is the second time now in two seasons that he's come up with an injury. College, he came up with injuries. So if it plays a if it plays a strong part in his mind, then he'll never come back from it and be the same quarterback that he was prior to the injury. So he's got to get that part. He's got to get that out of his mind and not worry about it. Like Harry said, you got to rehab. You got to rehab. You got to do those sort of things. When you get back out there, you can't think, oh, my God, this might happen again.
I got to be honest now. For that injury, and I get it, he wants to make the plays. But what probably played a factor into it as well is that he wasn't playing good before that injury happened. Right? You got Garrett Wilson, your number one wide receiver draft pick, ran a hell of a route. DB and press coverage, almost screwed him in the ground, almost made him fall. Wide open on the little 5-6 yard out route. Zach Wilson throws the football over his head. But then you come back and you have a little simple stick route, Keith, with a wide receiver go up 5 or 6 yards. He just turns around and the tight end runs a flat route out to the sidelines, and he telegraphed it and gets it picked off. So in his head, you know, he's probably thinking, you know what, I got to make plays now. I didn't miss the throw. I didn't throw an interception. I got to do what I can for my team. But what he has to understand is that it's preseason.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go out there trying to be Superman. And I thought that was some of his issues last year, is that he was trying to be Superman so much that it turned into interceptions and it hurt his team.
You guys know this when you play with quarterbacks. You can wow us all you want, but you can't keep missing layups.
No.
And that was a problem for Zach Wilson. And I get it. Rookie season, learning the game. But he was still doing that later in the season coming back from that injury, where he was throwing better bounce passes than the Knicks point guards last year. And you can't do that, especially when you look at that division right now. You got Mac Jones of the Patriots, who I know is going to play better in the second year. You got Josh Allen of Buffalo, I think is closer to being a lead quarterback than Keyshawn wants to give him credit for, even though he has not won a Super Bowl. And Tua Tagovailoa now has better weapons in Miami. But if he can't get it done, they'll go find another quarterback. You took this guy the second pick in the draft. When it comes to Zach Wilson, you told everybody who was somebody, we don't want Mac Jones, we don't want Trey Lance, we want this guy at the second pick in the draft. And now here we are, not even into his second year, and another injury, like he said, like you said, injury at BYU, injury last year, and then a play where he didn't have to try to make in preseason. Usually when you're doing something like that and those kind of issues are there, they don't exactly go away, and then you're not making plays like you're supposed to make, simple plays, you're Zach Wilson of the New York Jets.
And then you heard the rumblings last year, though. Like, you see a guy like Mike White come in against the Cincinnati Bengals and throw for 400 yards. Now, he's not going to get a fair shot because he's not the number two overall pick. So, as Zach Wilson, you do have the benefit of the doubt, but if these injuries keep occurring and then you're not performing at the level that you're supposed to be performing at, and they expect you to perform at being the number two overall pick, then they're going to start saying, hey, you know what? Should we give Mike White another opportunity?
Well, I think that'll come down the line. Again, it's a couple of weeks, you know, 2 to 4 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. Just depends on how his rehab goes. He still has a lot of football in front of him. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he can come back and get rehabbed properly. Mentally, he'll be strong enough to withstand whatever it is that he's missing. But, you know, injuries are a part of the game.
Right.
And when you select a guy as a number two overall pick, at the quarterback position, he is supposed to be the franchise savior. And then if that happens, then great. And if not, people are going to start to look at you, Joe Douglas, as an issue on selecting certain players. And although Joe Douglas has done a tremendous job assembling a roster, this quarterback right now is not doing him any favors.
Everything's predicated on the quarterback, Key. We know this. Everything is quarterback-driven in this league. And if your quarterback don't play right, you can. It's hard to say we can – teams just aren't built like the Ravens in 2000 anymore. You know what I'm saying? Where you can just hang your hat on your defense, and you got these young phenoms in the AFC. You got to ball out at the quarterback position. And if you can't put up points, you don't stand a chance in that division.
In modern football, your quarterback, you're right.
I don't think he's good, though. That's just me.
Well,
I really don't. And it's early.
Right.
But I don't think he.
As a Jets fan.
I don't think he's good.
As a Jets fan, I have my concerns they drafted him with that second pick. And that's not to minimize what he did at BYU, but I'm thinking all these other guys with better pedigrees, not named Trey Lance, even though Trey Lance is really good at North Dakota State, but he only played one football game because of COVID-19, didn't have a chance to play any kind of season with North Dakota State. I'm tired of the Jets taking chances on quarterbacks like this and trying to sell people on it. They've done this all their time in New York. You played in the city and you know this. They've done this with guys like Brownie Nagel. They've done this now with Zach Wilson. Jets fans are getting sick of this. Don't try to overinflate somebody that can't play.
Sound like a Jet fan, man.
No, you know, but I have history. I got receipts from the Jets doing this with quarterbacks. I do. I've gone time and time again as a Jets fan.
So Hackenberg didn't do anything for you?
Did he do anything for the Hackenberg family? How about that?
Y'all hit on Chad Pennington.
That's the only key.
Chad Pennington other than was Chad Pennington,
other than Chad Pennington and the guy you played with that took Glenn Foley's place in 1996.
Well, they didn't draft Tester Verde.
I didn't say draft Tester Verde. They lucked into him, and when Glenn Foley wasn't
like
working
Sanchez?
Out.
You ain't like Sanchez?
No! Sanchez was, you know what Sanchez was good? When he didn't have to win games. Nothing against him. Remember the playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers? Yeah. Second half? That was the best Mark Sanchez ever played in his life. Even Pittsburgh even said, if we had five more minutes in that game, that guy would have beat us. He never played that well. And the Jets were convinced, now he's going to make the next step up, and they tried to overinflate him. And what happened? Mark Sanchez failed in New York. Jets fans are tired of people overinflating their quarterbacks. And Zach Wilson may fall victim to that. And if he's not playing well and getting injured, it's the same old hamster in the wheel quarterback situation with the New York Jets.
Yeah, when he was coming out of BYU, I had an opportunity to obviously see him play his entire career at BYU because they played SC a couple times. And you know, you see it out west. I didn't see the number two pick. I just didn't see it. I don't know what Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas saw, but what I saw did not warrant the number two pick of the draft, especially when you had all those other quarterbacks that they could have very easily taken, a Justin Fields with no problem at all, no blink. You know, I didn't see it.
I'm looking at it now. If they would have took Justin Fields, not saying their draft spot would have been the same or whatnot, or may would have, we don't know, but pairing Justin Fields up with a guy that he played with in college and Garrett Wilson would have been the perfect combination, man.
Yeah.
Perfect combination.
Yeah. And by the way, also to that point, if you're going to take that guy the second pick in the draft and other guys around him play better, then that's a referendum. Not on so much Joe Douglas, but the draft suffers because he didn't play well.
But when you look at last year or 2 years ago when they drafted these guys, when they came out of school, and you put in Justin Fields, for instance, film, and I've just used Justin versus Zach.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Wilson film was not better than Justin Fields.
Right, I agree.
So I don't understand what they saw that made them pull the trigger on Zach Wilson versus Justin Fields, because even for the little bit of time that we saw Justin Fields a year ago, you saw some things that said, okay, if he had a better coaching staff around him and better players around him, he may be the guy.
I know one thing that it was, though. You talk about off-platform throws, right? And he had a ton of those in games. But then when he did his workouts, they seen him as well. But I just don't think that should be
I'm not drafting nobody in t-shirts and shorts.
No, I agree
based on them having the throw of the offseason. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that.
You know what they saw in Zach Wilson? They believe he could be the Jimmy Garoppolo for this football team. A guy that can make wild throws, but can play in the offense a little bit, have the running game surround
him. That's
not
the number two pick of the draft, though.
I understand that. I'm telling you what the Jets saw.
I understand that, but that's not the number two pick of the draft. The Jets got it wrong.
Well, so far they've gotten it
wrong.
I mean, as a Jets fan, I'm hoping they'd be wrong about this, but I've seen this before.
But then you look at the competition Justin Fields played against, man. Justin Fields played in the national championship.
And I just use Justin Fields as an argument. I mean, I could use Mac Jones.
You could easily put Mac Jones, and I think they'd be better.
I could use him as an argument. I could use Trey Lance as an argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But my eyes telling me that when I look at Mac Jones' college film, Justin Fields' college film, Zach Wilson's college film doesn't stand with theirs.
Yeah.
It has no legs to stand on.
Yeah. Mm. The Fantasy Football Marathon kicks off tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN2. Download the ESPN Fantasy app, the most popular fantasy sports app. It makes playing ESPN Fantasy Football easy, fun, and fast, unless you're a Jets fan rooting for a quarterback. Updates to gameplay in the ESPN Fantasy app include new scoring and league management tools with more new features and updates on the way throughout the season. Sign up ESPN.com/FFL or download the ESPN Fantasy app. Thanks for joining us here on Keyshawn, Jaylen, and Max. We're going to calm down now as a Jets fan. Freddie Coleman, Harry Douglas in with Keyshawn Johnson, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, as well as Sirius XM Channel 80. 7 days ago, and Harry, you weren't here, but 7 days ago, our boy Keyshawn Johnson, when they mic'd up one of the players in the field, he said, look, I get it. I know what Major League Baseball wants to do to try to get people, but at a certain point, it's going to come back to haunt a certain player or a certain play. 6 days later, this happened last night, the Yankees-Red Sox game involving Gleyber Torres.
All right, so the first question from our fans tonight, Gleyber, since you see this guy every day, how many home runs do you think Aaron Judge is going to hit this year?
That is a question everybody inside the club has.
Yeah, see, if he was paying attention, he would have gotten to that ball with no problem at all. He'd have slid over. He'd have been able to get to the ball. But for whatever reason.
He was distracted, Keith.
He was distracted, Harry, in the middle of a conversation.
Oh, man.
Hey, look, this is not an indictment on ESPN.
Sure.
None of that sort of stuff. They're doing what they need to do. I get it.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about from a player's perspective and standpoint. If I'm a player, I don't want to be mic'd up. It's different being mic'd up in a football game because I don't have Troy Aikman and Joe Buck talking to me while I'm running a route.
Hey, Keyshawn, what route are you about to run?
That's not the case. When I'm communicating with somebody in baseball, I'm talking to you.
Right.
So I'm communicating. It's like driving when you're on the phone. You're going to be distracted.
No doubt.
I don't care what nobody says. At some point, you're going to get distracted. And in this situation, he was distracted. So that little slight hesitation didn't allow him to get over there. Now, some people say, man, he hit that ball right up the gut like that. It was going 100 and something miles an hour. He was never going to get there. I'm like, no, that's not true, man. Yeah, I bet you.
He's a professional.
I bet you if he wasn't in the middle of a conversation,
his
reaction would have been just that quicker, that much quicker.
Yeah, I look at both sides of the spectrum. As a fan, because when they did this in the All-Star game, I love
that's cute.
Like
it's an All-Star game.
But I'm not gonna lie though, Key. I like it during the game as well as a fan of the game.
Okay.
It'll be different for me because I don't want to be distracted as a player. I really don't. I want to be focused on my craft and what's going on and paying attention and have 100% of my attention towards that. But as a fan, I love it.
But I knew this was gonna happen. This year again. And I don't know if they're doing it in the playoffs or not. What if your Atlanta Braves.
Oh.
What if?
Got to play
your Atlanta Braves.
I'm going to come on here and you know how I'm talking.
No, but what if the Atlanta Braves. What if they did this in the playoffs?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Freddie Freeman, they hit the ball to him, boom. Oh, it goes, and he wasn't paying attention, and it cost the Braves. You would feel different as a fan.
Yeah, especially last year when they won the World Series.
Mm-hmm. You would feel different. That's all I'm saying.
Fans want what they want when they want until it happens to their team. And believe me, I'm with Harry. In terms of from a fan perspective, I think it is cool.
I get it from a fan's perspective.
And I know you completely get it. But the problem I had last night, as soon as I saw that play, I said to myself, we're going to be talking about this tomorrow because 6 days ago, Keyshawn said, watch, this is going to happen. And I'm thinking it's going to happen later on in the season or next year. No, the Yankees made him look like a prophet from seven days ago.
See how God worked? He might not come when you want him to, Keith, but he's going to always be on time. And I tell you, like, sometimes I've been mic'd up a lot.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even imagine being lined up or in a game or somebody because I would probably say something like, listen, stop talking to me. Give me a moment. Wait till I get back to the sideline. Because I need to focus, man.
Yeah. I know baseball's different because there's a lot of that. I don't want to say standing around. That's not the right term to use. But compared to football and basketball and hockey, there's a lot of inaction.
It is, but what happens in baseball it happens so fast.
Yep.
You know, if I'm having a conversation and he's in the stretch and he's delivering the ball, by the time I blink, that thing might be up on me.
Mm-hmm.
What if Torres realizes I need to move over slightly a little more off the bag to closer to second, just get a little more over,
right.
But he's having this conversation, and so he's not thinking, I need to slide over, because he's having a conversation.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I get it.
It just changes your mindset, I think, when you're out there.
I'll say this, though.
Yeah.
Regular season, keep doing it. I want to see it. I love the conversations between the booth and the players, but I'm a fan of the game, so that's why I love it.
Players don't mind, by the way, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Harry Douglas, Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman, ESPN Radio. Players don't mind doing it because more than ever before, when you have to entertain people, you got to find different ways to entertain them. Yeah. And baseball.
It's a lot of games.
Yeah, it's a lot of games, but also baseball suffers from old people's disease.
Yep.
You know what baseball is? Baseball is classic rock. People don't want to hear classic rock anymore. They want to hear different. They want to hear something new. Major League Baseball still has a mindset that, well, what's good about the grand old game and this is what makes our sport. There are different things you can do to show people how cool your sport is. Baseball has an image problem from an old person's standpoint because the majority of people who love Major League Baseball are my age, 55 and older. But if you're going to need a young people feeder system, they want what the NBA has, the NFL has, college football. Even MLS and NHL are cooler sports to younger people than Major League Baseball. So they feel the need to do things like this so people can go behind the game. Because how many times, guys, you heard, man, we would love to be in a locker room with you guys. We would love to be in a sideline with you guys.
You got to find different ways to make the game more interesting.
Well, you can't with Major League Baseball because it has no clock, Harry.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, when you talk about things like players being mic'd up, that's another step. That's one step towards making it more interesting. You know what? Let me hear what these guys are thinking. You know what I mean? This is different ways you can do it.
No,
but
it's
young audience you got to be able to capture right now that they haven't.
There's
right.
Nothing wrong with what they're trying to do.
Yeah, we're not criticizing
the
them
only
for
thing
it.
That I don't like as a player is I have to engage in talking to the broadcast team in the middle of my damn game.
Especially a shortstop or the infield.
Yeah, it's just a
and a lot of people don't know how hard that baseball is coming off a major league batter's bat and how quick it gets up on you. Like it in the blink of an eye, man, you can mess around and have a black eye, too, or a fractured nose.
Can you imagine that ball had taken a bad hop? Let's say he goes to make that play, takes a bad hop, and cracks him in the face.
Oh, no, he'll be fine. I think he would have been fine as far as that goes. His reaction time,
that's the part that bothers you.
My opinion was slowed down based on the conversation.
I wonder what was said in the dugout after he got back there to Aaron Boone, because Aaron Boone probably said, what happened? While I was talking to Carl Ravitch and Eduardo Perez, they asked me about Aaron Judge and home runs, and Aaron Boone was like, all right, I get it. I understand it. The way the Yankees are struggling, anything that's going to go against what they're doing is last thing you need.
They're still in first place, though.
They're 2-8 in the last 10 – Key, they're 2-8 in the last 10 games. I'm worried about them when it comes to the Astros.
Place.
But not just the Astros.
Well, the Astros are not afraid of them.
I'm worried about them in their own division if they're matched up with a team in their own division in a wild card game.
Okay.
That's what I'm worried about.
I think the only team that bothers me with the Yankees would be the Houston Astros.
Well,
that's
see,
the only team.
I think Toronto, because since they fired their head coach, they've been on the street.
Toronto can rake. There's no doubt about it. So Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Yeah, I don't worry about
Bichette.
Any of those teams.
You don't?
You know, we're out west, so.
Well, see, the Dodgers.
I know who you better be.
I know.
Let me take care of you. Who you better be worried about, because I know we got to get up out of here. Yeah. We got a hard out. I know who you better be worried about.
Yeah, the New York
we
Mets.
We took care of you last year. Nope, the Braves. We took care of you last year, too. Don't you forget it.
That was last year. Right. You got the championship. But our team's got a big four
nobody
game
even,
series.
You had to mention they got a championship. There's no one out there even knows that the Braves won.
Y'all stop. Wow. We have a hard out. Okay?
Wow.
Nobody don't even know the Braves won. How you going to win a world championship in the U.S. that nobody knows?
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. The hard thing about Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. We'll be right back.